ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 7 लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स उद्धवा Text number 44. Swachha prakritita snigdho
Swachha prakritita snigdho
Madhurya sthitha bhurninam
Madhurya sthitha bhurninam
Puni punati apam mitram
Puni punati apam mitram
Ikshopaspa shakirtanay
Ikshopaspa shakirtanay
Swachha
Swachha
Pure Prakritita by nature,
Snigdha,
soft or soft-hearted,
Madhurya,
sweet or gentle speech,
Tirthabhu,
place of pilgrimage,
Ninam,
for human being,
Muni,
sage,
Punati,
sanctified.
Abam,
of the water. Mitram,
the
exact counterpart.
Iksha,
by being seen.
Upasparsha,
by being respectfully touched.
Kirtanai,
and by being glorified bodily. Translation by the servants of the Srimangira Shilai Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O King, a saintly person is just like water because he is free from all contamination, gentle by nature, and by speaking creates a beautiful vibration like that of flowing water. Just by seeing, touching, or hearing such a saintly person, the living entity is purified, just as one is cleansed by contact with pure water. Thus a saintly person, just like a holy place, purifies all those who contact him because he always chants the glories of the Lord. The words apam mitram, just like water, can also be read as aghan mitram, which means that a saintly person purifies all living entities by accepting them as mitram, or his personal friends, and saves them from their sinful reaction, aghat. The conditioned living entity falsely identifies with his gross material body and subtle mind, and thus falls from the platform of spiritual knowledge. A conditioned living being is always lusty for material sense gratification, and if he does not acquire it, he becomes angry. Sometimes he is so obsessed with fear of losing his material gratification that he enters the stage approaching madness. A saintly person, however, is like pure water, free from all contamination and capable of purifying all things. Just as pure water is transparent, a saintly person transparently manifests the personality of Godhead within his heart. Such love of Godhead is the reservoir of all happiness. Water makes a most pleasing vibration as it flows and cascades. And similarly, the sound vibration of the Lord's pure devotee, who is saturated with the glories of the Lord, is most charming and beautiful. Thus, by studying the nature of water, one can understand the symptoms of a pure devotee of the Lord. ओम ज्ञानतिरंदस्या ज्ञानंजन श्लाघया चक्षुरुन्मीलयन् येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरवसंबंध
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 राम
सो हियर इन दिस सेक्शन ऑफ द भागवतम इन दिस चैप्टर लॉर्ड कृष्ण इंस्ट्रक्ट्स उद्धवा So there is this conversation between the Avadhut and King Yadu. So Maharaj Yadu, when he is touring his stay, he comes across this Avadhut. And he is quite different from the general people, because previous verses they mentioned that the general mass of people, they are interested in dharma, artha, kama and maybe moksha. So whereas this person was just freely roaming like a madman. But because of Maharaj Yadu with advanced consciousness, he could detect that he is not an ordinary soul, that he is actually very Krishna conscious. And then he asked him, how come you are so blissful? And then the Avadhut, he tells him that he gets instruction from, by using his intelligence, from his spiritual masters, which are 24 in number, which he then describes. So far, you know, we've discussed the earth, the mountain, tree, the wind, the sky, and now the Avadhut describes the water, how the water is the spiritual master. And here he compares pure water to be like a saintly person. And actually, as you can see, with his intelligence, the Avadhut has transcended all material desires, and he sees Krishna everywhere. So, like, this is the vision of a Mahabhagavat. He can see Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. So, and it is specifically mentioned with his intelligence he sees. So, as we know from Bhagavad Gita, that intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. And the problem with our intelligence is that it is contaminated. So we see the same objects as objects of sense gratification. But for the Avadhut Brahmana, it is actually the opposite. He sees those objects and he remembers Krishna. And he actually takes lessons from them. And it's also mentioned that the senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of lust. And through lust, the real knowledge of the living entity is covered. And the lust bewilders the living entity. So basically, through the lust, our real knowledge is covered. And the intelligence is one of the sitting places of lust. And as you know, that intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. And if the intelligence is contaminated, naturally the soul will also be influenced in a certain way. Just like, for example, if there's a high profile person, like a prime minister, like, you know, like Indira Gandhi, she was assassinated by a bodyguard. So because that bodyguard was bribed, so he basically shot her. So similarly, if our intelligence is contaminated, so it is actually quite a risky position. That's why we should not actually depend on our intelligence to make the decisions. We should take our intelligence from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So we should actually sharpen our intelligence by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, hearing lectures, and associating with devotees. In this way, we can actually sharpen our intelligence. And also Krishna describes that if one wants to conquer over lust, one has to first regulate the senses. Because of the senses, mind and intelligence, obviously the senses are the most easy to control. I mean, it's not so easy, but as compared, the mind gets harder and the intelligence gets harder. So the senses have to be controlled in the sense that one has to engage them in Krishna's service. And also the mind and intelligence also has to be engaged in Krishna's service. And one has to get a higher taste. If we don't get a higher taste, it is actually difficult to continue doing it. So here we see, like, the qualities of the water are described, that, like, you know, when it rains, the water is very pure. It is free from contamination. I mean, these days in Kali Yuga, everything is contaminated. So the water we also get is contaminated. We have to filter it. Like everywhere we see water filters, we are filtering the water before we drink it. But actually, like, if we if you go to the Himalayas, there's so many rivers, and the water is very pure. You know, one can drink it straight. So it is free from contamination, and the water is quite gentle. You know, when it depends on the flow, it's quite gentle. And it creates a very beautiful vibration. Like if we sit outside in the near the where the pond is, because of the fountain, it, actually the sound vibration is very beautiful. It is very pleasant to sit there. Or if you sit next to a river, it's a very pleasant sound. It's a very natural and pleasant sound. So these qualities are actually compared to a saintly person. Avadhut is seen like this. Because as the purport also describes that the living entities are full of contamination, and the living entities are compared to like a drop of water which has fallen in mud, so it is full of contamination. Whereas a saintly person, he's like pure water, free from contamination. And also we can see all these qualities are actually like we see and look at Srila Prabhupada's life. We can see that, you know, all these qualities exist in him. Like when a contaminated person comes in the association of devotees, he naturally gets cleansed, becomes purified. And also it says like, just by seeing, touching or hearing such a saintly person, the living entity is purified, just as one is cleansed by contact with pure water. Also, like you see, in the Leelamrita, it's mentioned in a few places that people, they saw Srila Prabhupada, that had such an impact on them. And sometimes, like when we're doing book distribution, we come across some people who say that they met Srila Prabhupada, or they saw him, they attended one of his lectures. And this has a very profound impact on their consciousness. So we can see that they get purified and they're very favorable towards Krishna consciousness. And also, like, the perfection of the eyes is to see the Lord and the Lord's devotees. So if one sees the devotees of the Lord, that is the perfection of one's eyes. And also it says, by touching a saintly person, you know, like quite often devotees are quite eager to touch other devotees' feet. So, you know, by touching, getting the dust of the feet of a great person, one gets purified. Like, by taking the remnants, one gets purified. And also by hearing from them. Especially, hearing is very potent. Through hearing comes the most purification. And if we actually apply those instructions what the saintly person is giving us, it is actually very potent. And also there is that verse in Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 15, which says that, O Suta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with him, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. So from this statement, we can actually understand that if one takes shelter of the devotees of the Lord, or if one hears from them, one can get purified more quickly rather than from prolonged bathing in the Ganges. Like we see sometimes people go to the dham, and it's very nice to take a bath in the Ganges, but it is mentioned that after prolonged bathing like this, one will get purified. Whereas the purpose of going to the dham is actually to hear from the devotees, is to seek out the elevated souls and to hear from them Krishna Katha. And if one hears from them, and it is mentioned when it says they've completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, that means that they are actually preaching the glories of the Lord. Because the mission of Krishna, as he describes in Gita, is to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. And those devotees who are engaged in that are very dear to Krishna. And if one serves them, one gets devotion. And one gets purified. And also in the first canto, 13th chapter, text 10, it's mentioned, My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So also, as it's mentioned in this verse, that a saintly person is just like a holy place, purifies all those who contact him because he always chants the glories of the Lord. So basically, saintly persons, they are like holy places personified. And wherever they go, they purify those places. Like, we can take for example this temple itself. Before it was a school. And many buildings which respond, you know, because Srila Prabhupada, he actually purchased many buildings and he converted them into temples. So many of them, like some were churches, and many of them were actually being used for mundane purposes. But because like Srila Prabhupada came here, this place has become a Tirtha. So this is like this temple is a Tirtha actually, it's Prabhupada Tirtha. So, you know, and even people say that, they say that, you know, when we step our foot in, when we come inside the gate, we feel a different kind of energy. You know, and when we step outside this temple, it's like, it's totally different. So this is actually the power of a devotee. That is holy place personified. And generally we see like people go to the dham to actually get rid of the sinful reactions. You know, that's why a lot of people go to, like Prabhupada would often say that, you know, the Ganges flows in Calcutta also, and it is in Haridwar. So people go all the way there to take a dip. You know, the same water is coming there also. So why are they going all the way there? And also, like, the example is given. How come that the Lord resides in the heart of the devotees? That we know Krishna is omnipresent by his diverse potencies. And just like example is given of electricity. Electricity is present. The power of electricity is everywhere, and through the light bulb, through the globe, the electricity is manifested. So similarly, like in this context, it is in this verse actually, Maharaj Yudhishthira is glorifying Vidura. So, like Vidura is a pure devotee, and in his heart, the Lord is manifested because of his pure devotion. So, the omnipresent Lord similarly manifests in the heart of such a pure devotee, and he sanctifies. Also, we see in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, that Arjun also ask Krishna, because he asked Krishna, can you tell me the symptoms of a person who is in divine consciousness? How does he speak? What are his qualities? How does he sit? How does he walk? So basically Arjuna is asking, who is a transcendentalist, a Stita Pragya, or one who is fixed in intelligence? So then Krishna describes that a Stita Pragya, a saintly person, or one who is fixed in intelligence, is one that who doesn't take shelter, yeah, who basically doesn't take shelter of the desires of the mind, which are generated by mental concoctions, basically. That is one who doesn't take shelter of his mental concoctions. So we see that the nature of the mind is sankalpa and vikalpa, that basically to accept something and to reject something. That's the nature of the mind. One minute it will accept something which it likes, and the next minute it will reject it. Like for example, sometimes some people find happiness in riding motorbikes. Then after a while, you know, they find happiness in surfing. So the nature of the mind is always like this, accepting and rejecting. So a saintly person is one that he doesn't take shelter of his mental concoctions. That he's actually fixed in the self. And also, then the next question Arjuna asked, that how does he speak? Speaking means that how does he react? How does he react to circumstances? So just like sometimes, you know, we are praised, sometimes, you know, we are dishonored, sometimes there's happiness, sometimes there's distress. So how does he actually react to all this? And then actually a saintly person, he sees everything as Krishna's mercy. And Krishna describes that he's not disturbed by the threefold miseries which come to him, or he's not elated by happiness. So as you know, the threefold miseries caused by the body and mind, by other living entities, and by natural disturbances. So when these come to him, he sees this as Krishna's mercy, as he sees that as his prarabdha karma, or karma which is meant for him in this life. So he thinks, because of my past activities, I'm getting this reaction. And when happiness comes to him, he also sees that as Krishna's mercy. Generally, I can say for myself, like when distress comes, I think, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, why has this disease come? It's not going away. Or like when something good happens, you know, we become so elated, we become so happy. And that actually a saintly person, he tolerates these dualities. And in that way he's fixed in his Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we get disturbed or elated, we can't actually, we can get distracted from our Krishna consciousness. And then he asks, how does he sit? How does such a person sit? Sitting doesn't mean just like sitting down, but it means that what does he do with his senses? That how does he not engage his senses? So a saintly person, actually the example is given of a tortoise. Krishna gives the example of a tortoise. That a tortoise can withdraw its limbs whenever it wants to and extract them for a particular purpose. So a Krishna conscious, a saintly person, he engages his senses only in the service of the Lord. So that's the meaning of sitting. And also such a person is not attached, and is Vita Radha is actually free from attachment, fear and anger. Because he's free from attachment because he uses everything for the service of the Lord. So he's free from attachment. Because generally what attachment, if we are attached to something, we cannot use that in the service of the Lord. It's like, for example, if I'm very attached to a car, then we cannot use that car in the service of Krishna, to transport devotees here and there, because we'll always want to use it for only ourselves, for our own sense gratification. Or if we are too detached, then that means we can't use that thing in Krishna service. It's like sometimes, like brahmacharis are too detached. So then we can't use that thing. We can't use those things in Krishna service if we are too detached, because attachment and detachment, they are actually material faults. One has to be above them. So one has to see as everything belonging to Krishna, and then one has to use it in Krishna service. So in that way we can be free from attachment and detachment. And such a person is not angry, because whether his activities are successful or unsuccessful, it doesn't matter, because he's doing it for Krishna. Just like example, Krishna was telling Arjuna, you fight the battle, fight the war. So, you know, whether you are successful or unsuccessful, it doesn't matter, because you're doing it for me. So generally, if we are doing something and if it's not successful, we generally tend to get angry, you know, or you get frustrated. But a saintly person, he's above that, because he's doing it for the service of the Lord. So success or failure, you know, it's in the hands of Krishna. He's just doing it to please Krishna. And we can see that in the life of Srila Prabhupada, that you know, when Prabhupada was trying to establish ISKCON, there was sometimes there was success, sometimes, like especially in the beginning, it seemed everything was failing, his business was failing and all his attempts were failing, but Prabhupada was fixed because he was actually doing it for Krishna. And also the purpose gives an interesting point that a saintly person is transparent like water, in the sense that he can actually reveal the Lord. That a spiritual master, a saintly person is the via medium to Krishna. That he doesn't add something or subtract anything. So he just simply presents Krishna as it is. And one can get Krishna as it is through the mercy of a saintly person. So we'll just stop here and see if there are any questions or comments or any corrections.
The end of circumstances, like we feel like if you are the what to do or what to do. So in that sense, in that case, how can we use our intelligence? We have to take decisions in the marriage.
So sometimes we are caught up in dualities and how to use our intelligence. That's why one has to take guidance from some devotees. In that way, because as I said before, because our intelligence is contaminated by lust, so it is hard to make the right decision. So one has to take shelter of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So one has to use these three resources. That's why one needs a spiritual master, so that one can, because one can take help from his intelligence and take his guidance. So we always have to be in the association of devotees and take guidance from them. And that's why also, like Rupa Goswami mentions that, you know, one has to, in the six types of exchanges, loving exchanges, one has to reveal one's mind and confidence. So, you know, that's why one has to constantly take guidance from somebody. And we have to read scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That sharpens our intelligence. And here comes sadhus. Any other question? Yes, sir.
No, you said that mind's work is to accept and reject things. Sometimes life in this, life in that. For example, for the body, it's like sometimes he's exhausted, stand his ground, sometimes he feels very tired or he doesn't feel like that. So is it the mind saying or is the intelligence of it? And Rala, if he is okay on the channel, is the intelligence telling or is mind the.
What do you think? That's the mind of it. Because you know the mind is saying, oh, you know, you're so tired, you know, you can chant later, or sometimes you're fired up. But actually, in intelligence, one will know that one has to chant the 16 rounds. One has to execute Krishna consciousness if his intelligence is fixed. If one takes shelter of intelligence. But the mind is always like this, it is flickering. Like sometimes when you're chanting, the mind comes up with so many things, you know, from all over the universe. So, you know, the mind will give you so many excuses not to do something. Even materially, like what to speak or spiritually. Like, you know, when you're studying and you're studying, right? You're going to school, college. So sometimes you don't feel like studying. But if you know, like, if your intelligence is fixed, you do it out of duty. So it's like that. So that's why one has to take shelter of one's intelligence, and one's intelligence has to be sharpened. Otherwise you'll be swept away by the mind. Yes, please.
One comment about Mr. Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Krishna Bhakt Sadev Nishkam Atev Shanta. That's why it's so peaceful. Because he's taking shelter of Krishna with his feet and he's not bewildered by anything.
Thank you. You had a question?
For me, when the body is not
resting.
Okay. So, like the same thing, the last time is the translation for the devotee can purify that's contacting the courtier with chant or support. And so, can you expand on that?
Expand on that, yeah, you can. A devotee can purify. Because like so many people visit so many, like if you go to a doctor can purify it. But if one goes to a saintly person, and doctor can cure your disease, material disease, but he can't purify the heart of lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness. But if one comes in contact with a devotee who's chanting the glories of the Lord, that purifies the heart. Because the narrations of the Lord are so powerful that they actually can purify the living entity. Just like, you know, it's like the Mahamantra, we chant it, it purifies it. Anything in relation to Krishna, because Krishna is pure, and anything in relation to Krishna is also pure. So the glories of Krishna are also pure, and especially when one hears it from a pure devotee, then that actually transforms the heart. Transcribe Srimad Bhagavatam.